Hi, I'm Kristen. I'm a social self-prez 9-wing-1-9-6-3.
Hi, I'm Kaisa. I'm a sexual social 9-wing-8 with the 3 and 5 fixes.
Hi, I'm Sammy. I'm a self-prez social 9-wing-1 with 5-wing-4 and 4-wing-3 fixes.
I kind of want to talk about the personal experience.
I wondered if you did, but I wasn't going to bring it up.
Oh, yeah. I definitely do want to talk about it because everything we have talked about, anger, kind of just perfectly comes alive in that whole thing.
Yeah.
And I even had a dream last night.
Oh, boy.
It's like a cherry on top of the whole thing. Anyway, but let's talk about the thing that happened. So, let me see. So, I guess what had come up for me in this whole process of body center that I began to feel like my body wasn't actualizing or directing its life force where I wanted to. I felt it was blocked and I felt like I have like no way out or something. And I was like opening up about this, and then you kind of mirrored it back to me and suggested that it would come from like the blind spots of like being self-pressed blind and not considering this kind of life path and demon and I, like not considering the life path and resources and damn, I don't even know what those instincts do.
Just like your introverted functions are the thing that tracks things and sees a path, a consistent path forward. So that's the gist.
Yeah. Right. And so I haven't been really building a life that would allow me to actualize myself in the way I wished to. And because of that, I felt kind of trapped. And then it kind of, I'm going to try to remember what happened.
I remember what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe you can tell.
Like from my perspective, like you brought these concerns up and I felt as if you had you've brought these concerns up before in the past. And I've always interpreted it as like a way to support you and like nurture what's going on just like inside. You know, there's a place for that, obviously, rather than like tell you what to do. But the energy you brought forth when we talked about it again felt very different in my experience. I was like, oh, this wants to move somewhere. So I was bringing, both Sammy and I brought up different things that were of your blind spot, not really telling you what to do, because like I kind of actually had a lot of questions to ask because I have no clue. We've never really cracked open this for you of like, where are you going? What is happening? How are you going to get there? So I was asking questions. Sammy was asking questions and it began to provoke you.
And that's where, that's, I think, how it relates to when we are experiencing that something is blocking us from individuating. We experience rage and anger, which is why I think a lot of us feel like the blind spot is robbing us of our life or something, or we demonize the blind spot. And this is how I felt about self-preservation and the introverted functions and just being head center last. And I came from a place where I had a lot of baggage and wounding from that. Like So when I started school or whatever, it was like, okay, let's put this kid to their blind spot for 5 days a week without any guidance. So it became like a huge wound of being deficient, and like I felt like I didn't really receive this kind of support I needed, and others didn't like see that I was struggling, that it was seen like me failing at like planning and structure would be out of being lazy or like somehow purposefully being bratty or selfish. So like, yeah, so like I developed like a huge complex about that, like feeling trapped in that state of like just not knowing how to deal with it, but it being like a very severe limiting factor in my life and keeping me like trapped in that kind of state with a lot of rage for having to do all of it and encounter and endure all of it, and just being enraged for not having support. So like you were being really supportive and asking really like great questions, but what happened was that I began to hear in your words, like, for example, when I have expressed my struggle to plan, then someone says, why don't you just then plan better? And I'm like, well, fuck, I just don't know how to do that, which is why I'm struggling. So,
right.
And so all kind of like dismissive stuff. So I began to hear those in your questions. So I kind of started interacting with the, like, as you said, you were holders of the complex that I had. I started interacting with the complex when I was interacting with you.
Mm-hmm.
And so then something tipped over. Like I was so like angry and enraged that I actually said something mean to you. And this was like a very critical point in that whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, well, because you were not like mean back to me, or you didn't like, you kind of returned it with kindness and understanding, like, hey, Kaisa, I see there's like something going on and I'm having like a bad reaction to it internally of the things, of the way things are presented here. And so where's this like coming from? Like you were being curious with it.
Mm-hmm.
And
I want to quick interject because I never got to explain my experience too. When I read the mean messages, I got fucking angry. I got so angry. Yeah. And I was like, it's everyone can relate to this. Like when you experience something like that, like you could have so many things to say, like, oh, wait till you fucking hear what I have to say, like that automatically came up. I'm like, I could say so much. And I withdrew. Like it's so weird how like this is aligning with our reading all this stuff, but like I really contemplated it too, because that triggered my own complexes of like not being heard, not being understood. Like it triggered my defensiveness of like, oh no, I need to correct you right now. I need to correct, because this, like, you know, those seething comments that you could say in response or whatever is like very one-ish of just an immediate snap, you know, like, let me correct what everything that is at fault with what you just said. Yeah. But
go
ahead.
Well, when I said those mean things, I was like, I was coming from a place of like not being heard. So I bring up your pain, maybe you understand my pain.
Right. Yeah. And then
it's what I've been doing in my dreams and in whatever.
Yeah. The complexes were alive and all of us. And that's why then too, like stopping, to realize like where is this coming from? What do I actually want out of this? Like, is this a fight now, or is this like something to repair. Like, it kind of, like, I spent a lot of time trying to understand. And also not diffuse the anger completely, because I even, like, said, I sent a voice note back, because I also know I can sound very direct in messages, and I knew that wouldn't come across how I wanted it to. So even in my voice notes, I said, like, that was really shitty. That was not cool. I didn't want to completely excuse the behavior, but it's also, like, this is not worth, like, fighting in the typical way that I would. Which is either, like, correcting or just completely withdrawing and expecting someone, like, you to come back to me and realize what happened. Like, that's the thing that it's, like, my dynamic has always been. So I just felt the need to be honest, but also say, like, what's going on, kind of bring a more realistic approach into the situation and open up a conversation rather than this kind of back and forth of anger. And then I was very nervous when I sent that, because I was like, oh my God, this is not something I typically will do.
Yeah, that's true. I think it's important, because we discussed before that when there becomes a complex where there's a lot of anger, like, mothering is not the appropriate response, because right. In that moment I felt like, if you had started to, like, mother me, it would have enforced my complex rather than challenge it in a way.
Right, yeah.
It needed to be challenged.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that was my part. And then I was like, wow, whatever the gods of Aries and everything was happening between us in this space, it was very active. And too, just reading about this kind of stuff, it felt so like there's a life on its own, like psyche is outside of us operating. And we're just fortunate enough in this moment to be able to pay attention to it in that way, which is fascinating, considering all the other times in the past that anger comes up and you kind of just deal with it in the way that you typically do. This was like very transformative for us. In general.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you have something to say?
Just the last thing too is that one of the things I noticed even with your dream and my dream and sometimes even Sammy's dreams is that there's always this kind of aspect where the anger never is resolved or repaired. Like I even think of the dream that you mentioned before in the podcast, at the end, you're talking to your friends and you just hang up. Like it's a complete rejection. Yeah. It's a cutoff.
Yeah. There's more to that dream as well. It was like, because of some kind of childhood thing, I kept being like in a state of anger and rage and hostility. And I said something mean before I hung up. And so I ended up doing that in our connection.
Right. And that's what I find interesting, why it was symbolized, how it was symbolized by the phone, because that is a complete like inability to receive and repair the connection, like quite literally. Mm. And like this interaction that we both had was all of us were able to actually repair and reconnect.
That's true.
Yeah.
Actually, there was like, even before it culminated, I tried to shut out the conversation. I said, this is going nowhere. I don't want to talk about this anymore.
Yeah, you did.
And you said like, well, actually, I'm having a bad reaction to that. Like, I feel like that's dismissive of everything we've talked and this is going somewhere. And it was like,
I'm glad I said that too, because I was about to be like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, that's just like a very strong of you to do that. I deeply appreciate it, because that was actually me doing the kind of rejection shutdown thing. Mm. I tried to shut off the conversation because it's like a rejection thing of me not like anticipating hurt and prematurely cutting it off so I wouldn't have to feel it. So yeah. I'm glad you kind of didn't let me do that.
Yeah, it really did leave. And that's the thing, like why I find it kind of like mystical, the whole experience, is because it's like, I have no clue why I'm being compelled to say these things and to voice my opinion, but something's operating here and it's important. And then it turned out to be pretty important.
Yeah. And I think it was because you were listening to your body and the reactions that you had, like you were very attuned to them and they were telling things to you about the interaction and you listened.
That's true.
Because you have been saying that what you tend to do in conflict situations is that you completely disconnect from your experience and try to like mother or like, you know, explain the situation away. So in this time you were present in your experiences.
Wow.
And
yeah.
And I think also why these things came up, because like I mentioned, I have been in a state of like just completely frozen in a freeze response in these like self-press blindness and in internal functions things, and just it felt like this was the connections we have. It's like a space that's safe enough where I could actually come out of the freeze. And after the freeze, I went into that with rage and with fight or flight. And there, yeah, I felt safe enough to experience these reactions rather than just keep being frozen and keep my life energy frozen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's, and too, just going back to probably something we said in the initial podcast on the body, is that sense of safety is incredibly important to the body center. Like even when you think of the chakras, and the root chakra is the base, like it is in deep in the body and impacts and affects every other chakra following it. That is your sense of safety. And so if you don't feel a sense of safety somewhere, then the complex isn't allowed to be properly expressed, because you're constantly defending yourself or protecting yourself. Like it's not a negative thing, but like you're protecting yourself. And I think each body type is constantly trying to protect itself in its typical egoic way. And it's kind of misinterpreting everything as unsafe in some way, and therefore the personality has to make up for that or do something about it, which doing that is never then actually establishing where your safety comes from, what is safe, so that the instincts, like the actual instincts, can protect you rather than the ego.
Exactly. Yeah, that was like the whole reparation thing and everything we talked about. Like after the conflict thing, that was just perfectly showing how like conflict can be a way to learn about ourselves and to forge even stronger connections and understand each other better and ourselves better. Because after, like, I feel like the whole complex that I had got punctured in there. Like, I hadn't been interacting with the world. I had only been interacting with that complex and seeing it everywhere and reacting to the world as if I was under threat, and it kept me immobilized. And so, well, first of all, I haven't been able to sleep for like a month since this body center process began. And after that, I have been able to sleep well. And I took some steps to like take care of my finances and make changes in my life without feeling like constantly under threat about those things.
Mm-hmm.
So that was like a huge shift for me.
Yeah, that was very beautiful too. I was just like, whoa, that happened so fast for you. It was really cool.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm an Aries. I heat up very fast, but also cool down fast, I guess.
Yeah. And I think it's just so, it mirrors everything that we're talking about with like the idea of anger being linked to your life force and your individuation. Because with you having the complex and seeing everything as a threat or the, or whatever has been linked to it being a threat, like that's you not actually being able to nurture your life force and let it grow. And it's a feeling of unsafety. And so getting in touch with that anger in a safe way could then create a better understanding of like, oh, like it's actually my internalized bad objects that are the thing preventing me from individuating. And it's those things that I need to like contend with essentially in order to start moving instead of constantly thinking it's the outer stuff stopping me, you know?
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah, I guess I have like a very fresh and newly emerging relationship with my rage as well. I think it already began in the zone when I made, well, because, okay, I'm impatient and I have a temper and we had to wait and I was tired. So I made a very dramatic and angry departure. So like I slammed the door or whatever. It wasn't a door. It was a curtain, whatever. So, but like, then the others were like, oh, now we know Kaisa better, like being curious. And then when this happened, like when you didn't kind of shut me out for being angry or like, oh my God, she's a bad person because she's that way. Like you were actually strong enough to be in the space and realizing that I'm having my own experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that made me also encounter my anger and like rage in a new way that like it's actually welcome and it's something that can be expressed and it can spark things to move in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
Which I guess especially as a 9, it means a lot that I can express my anger and still be like accepted, that it's not like a threat to my connections or threat to whatever.
Mm-hmm. And it can help you better understand where it's really coming from. So like you can contemplate the anger of like if a situation happens again in a social situation, like you're able to start to like recognize, oh, if I'm feeling angry about this, like where's it really coming from, you know? Like kind of what I did in the response to you is like, okay, I'm being really angry. Like I'm angry about this. Where's it actually coming from? Which is interesting because like part of why I was kind of able to go there is because I read that book and I had actually posted it before you even started like going off. And then afterwards you read it and you're like, oh, I should have read that first.
Yeah.
Because it's all about like everything that happened was like, you know, if you're angry, like go inwards and try to figure out what is it that you're interacting with. Is it the actual person that's saying something or is it inner, you know, turmoil or complexes or something? It was actually kind of funny because to be honest, it was probably more helpful for you to get it out first so that you could see it. Like, and it can be given to you. That's kind of what they do in analysis, what they're supposed to do, which is the whole, like, don't be a good mother. To like, the analyst holds the complex, and then they give it back to the person. Like, they mirror it to the person so that the person can see, like, what's going on and what they can do with it rather than diffusing it or shutting it out or continuing to say that it's bad, something like that. That like, you know, anger can go on. Like if you follow where the anger is trying to go and you follow the images, this is kind of where Eros comes in. Like when you follow the images and symbols that come up because you're angry, it starts to lead to something, a more creative process than just like, you know, pushing it out and never, you know, reckoning with it again until the next time it comes up.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think it was an experience that I kind of needed to have, even though I was very sorry I was mean.
That's okay.
Yeah.
I forgive you. Okay. Part of anger too is forgiveness. And I love how she worded it in that book, that it is not 100% forgiveness. Like, I'm not saying with our situation, but just in general, because forgiveness is a really hard thing. Really fucking hard. But just the idea of forgiving even the part of yourself that was involved in a situation that angered you or something like that, that forgiving the part of yourself that got you into the situation, whatever it may be, like there's an aspect of forgiveness that comes with anger too. And it doesn't have to be full forgiveness. It's not so black and white. Like there, she worded it like it could be 50 to 60% forgiveness. And that's fine. Like it's not always going to be like this grand thing that you're enlightened because you've forgiven someone 100%. Like there's all kinds of nuanced ways to help in the idea of forgiveness, not just of another person, but just also too within yourself and stuff.
Yeah.
Because part of my own anger in the conversation we had was like, I shouldn't have even provoked you. Like I was internalizing it too. Like I was like, and that's where my anger could come from as well. Is like, I shouldn't have even said anything. I shouldn't bring this up. I shouldn't, like, it's that one wing of like a correct. Like I have to fix the part of me that made a mistake. Like I am, my dreams can be riddled with the complex, you know, situations of mistakes and making mistakes and being a mistake and stuff like that. So that was where I was also going with my anger of just like, I shouldn't, you know, I made a mistake.
I don't think you did. I think that needed to happen. Like,
right, but
I think you were right. Yeah.
Yeah. Like even so, that's a part of myself I need to learn about too, is like, no, I'm allowed to say these things. Like and even if it was or wasn't a mistake, who, like, that doesn't matter. Like you can't fix something that has already happened, you know?
Yeah. And there will be, when we listen to our body reactions and go about in the world, there will be chaos.
And there will okay. be chaos. And it's okay.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And I think that's like, you know, really important in understanding like what you really learn from anger. Anger is a teacher. Like what are you learning from it? And where is it trying to take you? And where's the energy? Like it can be such a powerful energy. It's just that our type structures are constantly like thinking that they have the ultimate say in what happens with it or where it's coming from or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to hear the dream I had?
I would love to.
Okay. Well, there were like several, it's like one dream. I had several dreams. Bunch of them are like so weird that I'm not even gonna tell anything. But in this one part, there was this kind of black-haired girl in prison for being violent and rampant and whatnot. And so somehow then I walked in the prison, which is like confusing because I don't know how I just walked there. Then suddenly I was just there with her and she attacked me and I defended myself, but then I told her, wait. Like I told her that I'm gonna hug her even at the risk that she's gonna hurt me. And I said that, like, I'm hoping and trusting that you will not stab me in the back when I do. Yeah, and then I hugged her. And we hugged for a long time. And she said that she had never been hugged before.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's the dream.
Wow. Woo. That's so cool.
Yeah. So the way I reflected on that dream was that, like, the black hair was a signifier that this is like shadow material or right. some kind of darker aspect. And the prison was some kind of entrapment, being like trapped in that state. And there had been a longing for like nurturing and recognition. And like I was finally contacting that aspect of myself that felt the need to attack and that felt like she's under a threat. So I was able to offer nurturing to that aspect of myself and meet it and like develop a connection with it, I feel like. Yeah.
Ugh, that's so beautiful.
Yeah.
Man, this work is real.
I know.
Jesus, that made me cry. That's really pretty.
Thank you.
I'm also remembering too that you had a little girl with black hair in a previous dream that I think you even brought up on the podcast. And I think I remember she was like, it was like a birthday party or something. And you were like wondering why she's dressed up like that or why she's, do you remember this?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you were very critical of her, I think, or she was angry. Like there was something very shadowy about her.
Yeah. She wanted to be a dark princess when right. everyone else was. So it was like a birthday party where everyone was dressed as like some kind of weird medieval or classical kind of clothes. And it was really strict in how everyone was supposed to behave. And she wanted to be a dark princess. Mm. And I was like, ah, that's so fake. And I hated the whole setting. I hated the strictness, but I also hated her for trying to be something she was not or something.
Aww. Right. That's a really healing inner figure. Like that transformation from you hating her to you giving her a hug. Like, wow.
Yeah. It was like a real act of courage because there was a chance that she was going to stab me because I hadn't given her attention.
She's very angry.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Woo. That is so really that's, cool.
Yeah. That whole interaction we had really like seeped right into my deep unconscious realm.
Good. I guess it's supposed to.
Yeah.
I think it's a really, really great example of being able to spend time and really face the anger rather than what you've been doing previously and defending or rejecting or whatever. Like you really faced it. I feel like you've been the guinea pig throughout this whole dream process.
Well, I feel like I have. Maybe because I'm also born in the March, in the month of Mars, and being an Aries, so and being the first, it kind of has an aspect of being the first or being angry or initiating or whatever.
That's true. That's very true.
Yeah, I can be the guinea pig.
I've been the guinea pig a few times. I think Sammy and I have a few times, but it's always behind the curtain. It's always We're the introverts, so it's all happening before we get on. We try to figure it out beforehand, and then sometimes we don't. But wow, that is so powerful.
Yeah. Man. Everything we talked about and like read about just came alive in our interaction and in our personal lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's speaking of how fucking potent this stuff is.
It is. Yeah. That feels like you really were able to regain some very vital life force, like very important ways to nurture and grow and actually like instinctually protect.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. It's true.
Oh, so cool. Man, I love that. I'm glad you also waited to tell that until now rather than sending it to us or whatever.
Yeah, I felt like I needed to wait and experience the reactions and everything in real time in its right moment.
Well, Sammy on her mountain right now is crying and she doesn't know why. So she's linked into it too.
Yeah.
She's like, oh my gosh, I all of a sudden feel so emotional.
Oh, where is this coming from?
I must be getting a signal from the Universal 9 Wi-Fi. Oh, that's funny.
Hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, it feels like there was a whole chapter in my psyche about anger. And I found a closure. There was a very clear beginning and a closure.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't always come that clear.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and too, like it's, you know, I was saying at the very beginning of this call, I loved how in the Women Who Run with the Wolves, she talks about anger as a cycle. Mm. And so it's not just something that, you know, burns out, turns to dust. Like it will ignite. It's, you know, that idea of the phoenix that comes from the ashes. It's a rebirthing process. And I think that's kind of how we should see a lot of dream work process. It's not just a linear once and done thing. It's not like mm-hmm. you reach to a certain point, now you've leveled up or something. Like it is a constant cycle of things. So, you know, you'll get angry again at something and it would be similar or whatever, but you now have the tools to really know how to cultivate that fire when it comes up so it doesn't just erupt and destroy and spread. It's something you can really maintain and nourish in a way that's helpful for to you. That like that's where fire comes in as kind of like the hearth. Who is that Demeter? Who's the goddess of the hearth? Or Hestia? Are they the same
Hestia, yeah.
Yeah, like it's that idea of this is something that, you know, coming back to the mother, like this is something that nurtures you, warms the home, gives you food, you know, that kind of stuff. Like it's important to maintain it rather than let it, like there's a time and place for destruction with fire, but not all the time, you know. You'll instinctually know when it's time.
Yeah. Well, I remember I had one dream once where someone said, just remember whenever there's fire, make sure there's also water.
That's some wise words, yes.
Yeah.
And hey, that brings in the sexual instinct, body sender, fire and water.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you know what? Actually, when you mentioned the cyclical nature of this stuff, guess what I was processing exactly 1 year ago? I was getting myself familiar with self-preservation and that kind of stuff. And now this work with the body center, I felt like there was a huge complex that was tied to those things that found like some sense of resolve now in, like I had a sense of resolve then, but now there was another layer to it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think one of the things that I really liked, kind of scattered throughout the things we have been reading, is, you know, the idea of complexes in Jungian terms is that there is like an archetype underneath the complex. So, you know, you have the complex of something that's giving you anger. So like an outward projection, say like an institution is giving you anger, and you're therefore working with the complex of it. But underneath that is that archetype of anger, the archetype of Ares or Hephaestus or whatever, that is really holding the charge of that energy. So it's, you're able to strip away, when you're able to strip away the complex, you actually allow the archetype to exist more naturally and fulfill its purpose. Because I think that's really what it's trying to do, is trying to fulfill its purpose. But our personalities and our egos are just like fucking have their own agenda of constantly defending and thinking that it's right. So it's like when you establish that strong container that these complexes can start to break down, because even like our messages, like, you know, that is a container. It's a different kind of container, but like that's a container that we feel safe enough to express these things. And when you allow that to happen, then the complexes can really break down and you can see the archetype of it and what it really wants.
Yeah. I can't even really describe in words what it was, what it felt like to, when the complex kind of dissolved and I kind of saw that it was completely like blocking my vision of interacting with the world in its actual form.
It's like a disillusionment.
Yeah.
You know, I've had similar things happen. I'm maybe not as recognizable as this one, because this, since we've been talking about all these kinds of things, it was like, whoa, there's like something else going on that I'm not aware of, you know, like it's so cool to kind of like see that happening now. Whereas before, I'm sure it was, I just couldn't pay attention to it. But I do know definitely what it feels like to have a disillusionment of something, and it kind of re-energize me in a different way. Like, whoa, this is now like a whole other source of energy that just like, you know, was had a makeover essentially. Like it's just built totally differently now. It's like I can finally see what it's meant to do, or what I'm meant to see, or something like that.
Yeah. It also seems to
go ahead.
Yeah, it also seems to be a theme we've had in our interactions when we talk about our blind spots, that, well, there's a lot of trapped energy in blind spots, and a lot of like complex and just loss of agency. And then we have felt a need to like move the energy in our each other's blind spots, like give like gentle nudges to like our little pushes to move the energy forward, and it often sparks something.
Yeah, and I think that's it. It was really cool that too, we were kind of like unconsciously doing that. And to think like if that's something that we can cultivate in this kind of dynamic, like what other ways can people be paying attention to this more within themselves or within the world or whatever? Like there's something else going on. Like there's other things communicating. It's kind of like the unconscious to unconscious connection of that happening. Like that's really, really interesting.
Yeah, that's so interesting.
Magical. It's magical, even. It's spiritual.
Yeah, it is.